chapter 1. Now, I'm going to do my best to go verse by verse. And after reading after many people over the years, and I've heard a lot of preaching on it, we're going to go through the people I read after. You know, there's a lot of them. Adrian Rogers, there's Warren Wiersbe, there's David Jeremiah, several people. So, what's that one guy's name? I can't remember his name now. He had a lot to do with Timothy LaHaye and... Another guy. You gave me a book one time, Brother Dave. But I can't. I've spaced his name. Yeah, I know. You're old like me, so... Yeah, so anyway, then friends of mine, close friends of mine, they're preachers. Brother Daniel Richardson gave me a lot of insight, and I don't want to leave anybody out. Let's see, there's Larry Butt, and anyway, bunches of people. So we're gonna try to go through verse by verse, and we're gonna see what takes place. So, really, by way of a title, I guess you could say introduction to the book, more or less. But when we start out, we're going to start out with verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And really, that's all we need to know to start out. The revelation of Jesus Christ, it's, and we'll get into this a little more, is basically the revealing of Christ. So before we get going, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most kind and gracious Lord, as we study this book, Lord, that we're blessed with and says we'll be blessed if we read and study it. Yes. Lord, open our hearts and minds to your word. Help us, Lord, to discern things that we need, and Lord, to just take it all in and use it, Lord, to really give us the enthusiasm and the ambition to really get out and to spread your word. Because if we know, as we study in the book of Revelation, the things that are coming, they're not here yet, but they're coming. And Lord, we ask that you would that this would be an encouragement to us. And Lord, to realize that, hey, in all of this chaos that we're dealing with in our day and in days to come, that you are in control and you know exactly what it's doing, hadn't struck you by surprise. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we just ask that you help us to lean on you, to trust you, to look at you in a way that we've never had before. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so now he says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now, you need to remember that. Shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Now, before we go any further, I was going to do this for a class at 4:30 on Sundays, and still may, but I really don't know if I want to start that until after Easter, because the revival will be out of the way, and then maybe we can cover some verses, because really chapters 1, 2, and 3 are, we can go through them fairly easy, I think, and there's a lot in them. But I think we can cover that. When we get into chapter 4 and on, to say 22, it gets a little bit more technical, I'll say, maybe for lack of better words. But we'll kind of put it in a class form is kind of what I want to do, and question it and talk about some of the things in there. So we'll see where the Lord leads with all of that. Now, this evening is basically going to be an introduction to it, because there's about three reasons, maybe four or five, but we're going to kind of focus on three reasons that people want to study the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is exciting. When we look at it, when we read it, we've heard it preached before. It's got that sensationalism in there.
Yes, it does.
It's that excitement that stirs us.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to say that's wrong or right. We'll get to the main reason we ought to be doing it in a minute. Really, the next one would be on an intellectual level. Oh, that's fancy, isn't it? Intellectual. See, when you say that, you have to stand. Intellectual level. Because people are intrigued with it and they want to learn, but they really want to get the Bible knowledge. And as I said, I'm not going to say all of these are wrong, but it's the main reason that we ought to be studying this is out of obedience to the Lord. First off, He told us to study His Word. That's everything from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22, last verse. All in between. And we need to be studying them. And a lot of people shy away from Revelation because, for one, it's kind of a scary book when you get to reading into it. You definitely don't want to be here. And in today's world, we're seeing an awful lot of things lining up to get to this point. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it has to happen. Now, I know, and I'm going to throw this out there. I know Trump done real well in Iowa. I know they're already predicting he's won New Hampshire. DeSantis has backed out. I'm figuring Haley, she should back out, and everybody's pushing for this Trump to get in office. But I'm gonna tell you, it ain't about Trump. And you're coming from, listen, I'm a fan. I like Trump, and I got a lot of pastor friends. What? You like him? He's sorry. I'm like, well, King David wasn't no angel, but you know. That makes them mad when you do that. So it boils down to, it's not about who's in office today, and it's not about who's going to be in office in November or next 2025, because I forgot we're in 24. It is about Jesus Christ. And trust me, as I said, He is in control. Sometimes you step back and you're like, but that's where studying this book helps us a lot. So the book is filled with symbols. It's filled with future events that are going to take place. And it's really, though, we have to continue to look at it this way. It's really a book that we ought to obey. And understanding Revelation in a right way, because I want you to understand, no matter how sincere you are, the word can be divided in different ways, wrongly divided or rightly divided.
Amen.
And we want to make sure that we rightly divide it. Now, I will tell you, there'll be some gemology. There's probably going to be some Brother Danielology and some David Jeremiahology and Warren Wiersbyology, because some of it is like way beyond our thought pattern.
Yeah.
And I have a hard time when way on over there when it says, and these angels come up out of the pits and that are chained in the Euphrates? Yeah, they come barreling up out of there, and I'm like, whoa. I mean, you know, I won't be here, so it won't be a big issue, but it's something that we have to look at.
Yes.
Now, the title, to be honest with you, of course, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's really where it's at. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's in the opening verse. Now, that word revelation, and a lot of this you've probably heard if you've been in church at any time. You've heard it or listened to preachers. The word revelation is in the Greek is apokalupis. But it's actually in our language apocalypse. And it means the uncovering or unveiling. Years ago, I couldn't wait to go see a movie. It's called Apocalypse Now. And it was, what was his name? Martin? Sheen. He was a strange bird in that show. But really, when I watched that show, it reminded me of what I've been hearing my father-in-law preach. And by the way, some of that will be about what I've heard him preach over the years in Revelation. But I heard all these people saying all this. And it's an unveiling of a lot of things, but mostly Jesus Christ. You see, more than just future events, more than just all of this stuff that's going to happen, Revelation is about unveiling a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's the most important thing there is Jesus Christ. Now, the author of the book, it tells us right there in verse 1, it tells us that it's his servant John. Now, we know this to be the beloved John, the one that wrote the book of John, the gospel, and then he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then he wrote the book of Revelation. And some of the history of this man, we'll probably touch on here in a moment. But this guy, John, he was a special guy. He's the only apostle that did not die a martyr death. And I think that's important. They boiled him, history says, in oil. I think I even read in history, supposedly they gave him poison in a glass of water and he drank, or glass of something, and he drank it. Didn't kill him. Because Jesus told, he kind of hinted on this in John 21. The book of John, chapter 21, Peter was all worried about Jesus. I mean, about John. And Jesus said, don't worry about him. If I want him to live forever, he will. Amen. You don't worry about him, you worry about Peter. And so he kind of gave us a little hint that he was going to be around. Now, most of the scholars believe that John the Beloved is the one who wrote Revelation, and I'll go along with it. Now, history is that he was in the Ephesus as the pastor. It doesn't tell us that in the Bible, but nonetheless, that's what history says. I think it's in Josephus, if you read about him. Man, that stuff's hard to read. Have you ever looked at a book about Josephus? I'm sitting there like, now how am I going to read this? But anyway, there's a lot of good information in there. He talks about a lot of things. Now, John wrote and the book, we know. And then if we're going to look at the circumstances during the time this was written and the time this letter was put out, John was writing in days of persecution. Now, I'll be up front with you. We ain't never seen persecution, but look at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom of and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand, he was exiled to this island because of what he was doing. He was preaching Jesus. That's exactly what he was doing. Now, there's been some people worry about what's going to happen in February when we go down to the Super Bowl. And we got to be sensible. Somebody walks out and says, you can't do that on the sidewalk here. Oh, okay. You know, don't pull the John Wayne or Clint Eastwood like I want to, you know, who died and left you in charge. But you can't do that. They're going to frown on that. You know, we're going to have to be careful with what we do, and we got to be sensible with what we do. And we could very well be persecuted for going and doing that. They may very well, you may get cussed out. You know, we might get looked at really funny. People look at me that way anyhow. And you know, you're going to run across atheists, which is a joke. There are no atheists, but they claim they are. But you know what? The funny thing, I was listening to a guy the other day talking. He said, atheists, he said, really get angry about God. Why would you get angry about somebody that you don't believe in anyway? You know, I'm not angry about Mickey Mouse. Don't care for him. Never did. But Mickey Mouse ain't real. Why does he upset me? He don't. If you don't believe in God, why would you be upset over people talking about God? He's not real. It's not bothering you. But they do. That just shows you how intelligent they are. But now, the Roman emperor at the time was Titus Flavius Domitian. AD 70, who attacked Rome? Rome. Who attacked Jerusalem?
Rome.
Rome did. Who was in charge?
Rome.
That dude right there, Titus. That is who did when they came in there and destroyed Rome, that is who did that in 70 AD. He was not a nice man. And John was under persecution from this guy. And that was around, now between 95, 96, the emperor, this emperor Titus, demanded that everybody worship him. Now, you got to ask yourself, you don't have to answer it, but you got to ask yourself, you don't have to answer it out loud, but you do need to answer it. If they ever come to you and say, bow down and worship, this, bow down and worship me. Because we've got some politicians that would love nothing more than to have you bow down to them. And I'm not just picking on Democrats. There's some Republicans up there I wouldn't give you a plug penny for. You know, but they would love nothing better than that. And some of them think we do. I don't bow to nobody. I don't intend to bow the knee to anybody other than Jesus. The only knee I'm going to bow is going to be when they shoot me in the front yard. And that's as I go down. Because it ain't going to be doing it on, you know, on their terms. But see, because of his devotion to Christ, this man John was banished to this Isle of Patmos. And by the way, he was probably in his 80s or 90s at this time. And he had to do hard labor. He didn't just go out there and stand around and watch everybody. No. He had to take him out there and do hard labor. And he had to work right along with them. And what's funny is they thought by putting him out there, they're going to stop all of this nonsense. They ain't going to stop it. Listen, you're not going to stop God's word. They're not going to stop the Lord's church.
Amen.
They're not going to stop people from telling about Christ. It's going to, and people will die doing it.
Yes, sir.
It's going to, and listen, you'd either have to be a total idiot or there really is a God.
Amen.
To do something like that. And when you look at history, well, the Catholics took out somewhere around 50 to 60 million people, best they can count, that professed to be Christian and stood up to the Catholic Church and said, no, we ain't doing what you say. Now, they'd either have to be total idiots or they're really serving a real God. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and tell you, we're serving a real God. Amen? there was, I forget who he was. There was one emperor. It might have been him. No, it wasn't him. There was another emperor later in years, and I don't remember his name, but he said, destroy all the Bibles, any kind of Bible, and it might have been a king of England. I don't remember now, but destroy everything that has to do with God. And he said, we catch anything. Burn the Bibles and all of this. Well, then there was another guy come in. And if I remember right, he was a king. He came in and he said, I will give and will not harm you. X amount of gold. Somebody bring me the word of God. This other guy thought he destroyed it all. And people started showing up with the word of God. You're not going to do away with it.
Amen.
They can try all they want. Now, the people of this book is talking to, look at, well, let's go with verse 2 first. Who bear record, now John, his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, I want to go back real quick. The revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God gave unto him. God give it unto Jesus to show unto his servants, that's us, things which must shortly come to pass. We need to remember, this ain't long drawn out. People say, well, yeah, but Paul was talking about this. Paul didn't have the book of Revelation. So he wasn't talking about it. Now, we realize that all these preachers over all these years, they've been, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. It's never been this close. Well, they weren't lying. You know, your salvation is nearer today than it was Saturday.
That's right. That's
one day, but it's closer. But when we look at a prophetic way, when we look at it in prophecy, there is a bunch of stuff coming together to fulfill what we're going to study in the book of Revelation. I'm talking coming together in a hurry. One world government. You ever heard of the one world government? They have never, ever in my lifetime, Brother Larry's lifetime, Brother Gene's lifetime, because you're the oldest, or all of their lifetime put together. I'll throw Brother Dave in there. He's up there. If you put all of their lifetimes together, never before have we been this close to things.
Yes.
We've never seen things coming together like they are coming together right now, and it's very quickly. They've been talking about world government and world religion for years. They had a world religion, and they had a world government. It was under Roman rule. Then they had it again in England. Had the English, the king, whoever the kings were, but they had the one world religion. Everybody was Catholic, or you just didn't get along. And then they branched out and had the Reformation days, and it caused them guys a lot of trouble. But it's always been about one world government, one world religion. And it's going to go back to that, as we're going to see. But one world government just in the past 20 years has really taken off.
Amen.
Now, unfortunately, I had the wool pulled over my eyes, and I voted for George Bush. I wouldn't let him feed Sister Deb's cats. He's a one world government guy. Obama, one world government guy. Bill Clinton, well, not him. He's interested in other things, but his wife is one world woman. Then you got to throw in Biden. Biden's all about one world government. All the administration up there, one world government. We got to have this one world government. And they're dealing with that big time on a huge level right now.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
By the way, they're talking about another pandemic coming out in May that will be 20 times more deadly than COVID. We live in some evil times.
Evil.
And we may go on to heaven before the rapture.
Right.
May ain't far off.
That's right.
Which would be all right. I'll get to go up there with my grandparents. A lot of us have lost loved ones. We're going to go get to reunite with them. Hey, what a blessing. What a day it'll be when we see Jesus, huh? That's a song, isn't it? Anyway, so now, let me, I got to get back on here. who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth. Oh, here we go. Blessed is us if we read it. Is that proper English? Blessed is we. That'll work. Blessed is we-ins if we read it. Or I'll say it southern. Blessed are y'all if we read Revelation. It tells us the Bible flat comes out and says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. You know, because there are some folks who can't read. There's some people that can't see, so therefore they can't read it unless they're in Braille. And then you don't ever want to read something in Braille that says, do not touch. Not good. Hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. There it is again. It says, which must shortly come to pass. Then he says, the time is at hand. Listen, we are on the edge of something major happening. Now, a lot of people think it's all this mess going on. Honestly, yeah, it's all going to happen. But the major thing that's going to happen, we're on the edge, is called the rapture. Yes. We're going to be out of here. We ain't going to get to see all the stuff that's going to happen. Well, I'm not sure what we'll be able to see from heaven, but we won't be down here dealing with it. Now, verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, that's who it was written to. Now, you've got people. I'm not one of these guys. They'll say all of these churches represent different dispensations of time. Hogwash. Because I've had them, we're in the days of the church of Laodicea. Well, what's that make your church then? Lukewarm. You know, and they're like, well, no, we're not lukewarm. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You said we's in the days of Laodicea. If it's, you know, it don't work. These seven churches were actually seven real churches during that day. They actually existed. And this letter was written to them with the intention that it's going to be passed down through the ages and that it will be read in other churches. Finally came to Wagon Wheel, and we're reading it. That was the whole idea behind all of this. There's people that like to say all of this, but I personally think that it was written, and they can't prove it any other way to me. I think it was written to the Lord's churches in existence, whatever day that is. Amen. These seven dispensations. Yeah. You can take these seven churches and you can break them all down, and I've been to several of them. I've been to a few churches that were as cold as they could be. Could have hung hogs in there and they wouldn't have spoiled. I've been to some that are just deader than a hammer. I've been to some that are lukewarm. They just sat around, well, impress me. You know, I've been to some that they've lost their first love. They really didn't matter. I've been to some that's like Church of Philadelphia. They had an open door and they were fired up, and they might have been small, but hey, they were wanting to do it.
Amen.
You know, so, and I think if we go out there and look, we can find one of these churches. So Revelation is written to the Lord's churches. I'm not going to tell you Revelation is written to every Christian out there, because not every Christian I've ever met, or I'll say it this way, not every believer I've ever met goes to church. There's some believe, well, I don't want to be in there with them hypocrites. I don't believe in organized worship. Well, bless your heart. God is all about organization. He is. God is a God of order. He likes to do things in order. And if you don't, well, I can't help that. The Lord shed his blood for his church. And I think it's something we ought to be a part of. It does say that we're blessed if we read it. And if it was read in seven churches, then it ought to be getting read in other churches. I think there's a lot of people skip out on this because they don't want to really get into that kind of stuff because it scares people.
Yeah.
We're not getting very far. Yeah, that is all right. Revelation is something that we need to hear its message. And we need to heed to the lessons that are in this book. And especially, to be honest with you, we need to heed to the messages when we get to them that came to these churches, because wagon wheel is not exempt from being any of these churches that are on there. Now, the Church of Philadelphia, if I'm right, I'm pretty sure I am, they had an open door. That open door was to share the gospel. Right now, 2024, what is today, the 20th? 21st of January, 2024, we have an open door to share the gospel, and can't nobody close that door.
Amen.
They might tell us on the sidewalks in February, you can't be doing this. Well, I'll just go the next turn until somebody tells me. You cannot force that on me because I have an open door and you can't shut it. None of the law here can shut it. Now, eventually there's going to come a day the Lord's going to allow it. And it tells us over in Amos, there comes a day that there's going to be a famine, and it ain't going to be of food. It ain't going to be of drink. It's going to be of the Word of God, the truth. And one thing we want to do at Wagon Wheel is remember that we can take these seven churches and we can look at them and we can say, well, we don't want to be like those three and those three. We'll stick to this one.
Yes.
We don't want to get like Sardis. They had problems. Yeah. Thyatira, they had problems. Yeah. We don't want to be like Laodicean. Impress me, Brother Jim. Hey, I ain't here to impress you.
Amen.
I'll let God do that. If he impresses you, that's his business. Now, I'm not going to get too much further. But God uncovered a lot of truths so that we can be blessed and encouraged in our daily lives. When we study Revelation, it will bless us, says so, verse 3.
Amen.
And it will encourage us. And it's encouraging for our daily lives, because when we go through our daily lives, we've got to remember what's going on in the world. And we're like, well, wait a minute. I've read the book. You ever grab you a book you want to read and you go read the last chapter so you can see who died? You know, do I want to read this or not? Listen, we've read the book. We know that the victory is ours.
Yeah.
We may lose some battles along the way. But ultimately, we know who wins. Lord Jesus Christ and his people. We all win that. Now, let me touch on this real quick. Let me see. Oh, I got a lot I could go. We'll just do this one thing because it is 7:04. Now, let's look at the book in the characteristics of the book. So first, John gives many references to the Old Testament. Now, a lot of people say, well, what's the Old Testament got to do with it? I got news for you. If you don't understand the Old Testament, you ain't going to understand the New Testament totally. You got to understand the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. John referenced almost 20 Old Testament books: Exodus, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Zechariah, I think what's that one? Ezekiel, I named it. Anyway, there's a bunch. You studied Daniel, a bunch of this stuff in there. Daniel will refer you to Revelation. Now, we got to remember, the book of Revelation is filled with a lot of Old Testament references. And it's the fulfillment of the entire Word of God.
Amen.
Revelation is going to be the fulfillment of the whole thing. And it's all about, it's going to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies about Christ.
Yes.
Because who's going to sit on the throne of David?
Yes.
Jesus. He will. One day, they wanted him to back then. They didn't understand it. We've got a much better understanding than them guys that walked and talked with Jesus. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
These guys walked and shook hands with him, or I don't know if they did that. Maybe they, I don't know. However they did that, the holy kiss on the neck. I'm going to kiss you afterwards. You know, they did that. I don't want nobody kissing me, but anyhow, they did that. That was special to them. And they walked and talked with Jesus, sat in the same room with him, been in the same boat with him, slept out there in the desert with him. Yet we've got a better understanding now than what they had. Because we have the Word of God. It's a shame to let all of that knowledge just slip away. A lot of people do, though.
Yes.
Now, our other characteristics of it, it has, as I mentioned, symbolism. And really, to interpret, a lot of people will say, well, Revelation is like an allegory. It's not.
Uh-huh.
It is not. You see, John said in Revelation 1:2, he says, who bear record of the Word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ of all things that he saw. John saw all of this stuff, and we need to remember some of the stuff he saw. He was having a hard time interpreting that. He was doing his best, but listen, it wasn't easy for him. So the best way, honestly, when we read Revelation, the best way to interpret Revelation is literally. Don't say, well, let's base this way, let's base. No, we ought to take it literal. Literal for what it says. You mean there's going to be these creatures that come up out of the bottom, out of the Euphrates, and they're going to be that horrible? You bet yourself. You bet you they are. Yep. It's going to be bad. And we certainly don't want to be here. You see, John used symbols like the beast, the dragon, the harlot, the white horse. He used all of those symbols. Now, sometimes the symbolism is explained totally in the text. Sometimes it's not. Like, for instance, the seven lampstands. Where's that verse at? I didn't write it down. Well, anyway, he said it's the seven churches. Oh, 1:12. There, I saw it. And I turned to see the voice of the angel, the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps of with a golden girdle. And it goes on to explain that now we understand that he wrote to the seven churches, and it explains anything. Then some of it is not going to be explained very well. We're going to look at it and we're going to be like, but you got to remember, the guy John looked at it and was like, you know, he was like, what is that? I mean, you got to figure that's kind of what he thought about. So we had to keep in mind that the symbols, by the way, that were used in Revelation, they were also, a lot of the symbols and stuff were in the Old Testament as well. And so as we study this, and I got to do this one little piece. As we study this, there's an outline already in the book of Revelation. Look at verse 19, chapter 1. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be after. That is a perfect outline for a sermon. And so the things where was that at? The things which thou hast seen. John saw the risen Savior. So he had seen that already. And he said to preach on that. And then the things which are, what was going on? You see, the John involved the writings and messages from Christ to the seven churches. That's who he was preaching to. And he wrote those to them. Revelation chapter 2 through chapter 3 tells a lot about these churches, and we're going to go over those letters. Now, the things which is going to happen, stuff that's coming, it ain't here yet. That's future events that are described. We're going to go from chapter 4 to chapter 22. That's all of that stuff. And we're going to try to break it down a whole lot more. So be praying, and I've got to quit. Be praying about studying Revelation, because studying Revelation, the Bible tells us that we're going to be blessed.
Amen.
For doing that. Well, listen, we have been as a church, I mentioned it this morning, baptized somebody on the 31st. Baptized Sister Margie. Baptized Brother Francis the week after. 2 weeks later, we baptized this morning little Calvin and Tim. Man, as a pastor, that's like, woo! I get fired up. It's like, hey, I was starting to wonder if we even needed a baptistry. I was starting to like, hey, what, this thing gonna rust and fall out. That's what it's about, is people that come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and then they want to follow him in obedience. And that gets you excited, and we need to be excited. Man, it would just blow my mind. We go out on the 10th, and we go out on the 11th, and the next Sunday, we got 40 people come in. Hey, I found this, and somebody handed it to me, some goofball down there, wanted to talk to me about God, and I just don't know. But they come to church.
Yes.
And then they got saved. That would be like, that's another one that won't be going into the tribulation period that we're going to be studying. We've got to be excited about what the Lord wants.
Amen.
We need to be the same way about studying and reading Revelation. Be excited about what the things we're going to study, which ought to motivate us to tell people about the Lord. Because I don't like Nancy Pelosi. I've never met her. But I can tell you right now, I don't like her. But I wouldn't. I honestly, I don't want to see her go through the tribulation period.
Amen.
I really don't.
Amen.
And if she got saved, what a different old gal she'd be. She might even hug Trump. I really don't. I don't want to see anybody I can think of go through the tribulation period.
Amen.
We should not think that way. What we ought to think is, oh, what a blessing if they get saved.
Yes.
That is what it's all about.
Amen.
Winning souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Brother Roger, let's have a song tonight.